There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. And my, do we have a lot to talk about today. As I mentioned, as we were wrapping up the morning show, the press conference was coming up at 9:30 with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. And something about annexation. What was it? Well, it looked like it was something pretty big when it's a discussion of our form of government here in the city of Mobile. And a man that has spent many decades in law enforcement here in the county and, of course, in the city has a perspective on that. And that's why we're lucky that the man that held the press conferences at 9:30 this morning is walked in here to studio to Midday Mobile at noon. Sheriff Cochran, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Sean. It's a very important message.
It is an important message. I think we need to back up to and do a little bit of remedial for folks who do not know the Zogby Act and the system of government here in Mobile.
There was a federal lawsuit many years ago about the representation of minorities in the city of Mobile in federal court for several years, and then I think there might have been a federal court decree or something, and the legislature agreed to pass some new form of government to go from a districted or citywide districts. There was three people elected at large in the city, and then they would be place one, place two, place three. And so the Zogby Act was passed that would give the citizens of Mobile the ability to decide whether they wanted a commission form of government or a city council form of government, and it set all the process in place, what the law would be, and the districts and all like that. And then the citizens voted and made the decision between the proposed mayor council or the city or the city commission form, and the mm-hmm. citizens at that time chose the mayor council. But in that mayor council form of government was a clause that said all things that would be passed would have to have what we refer to as a supermajority, a passage of 5 positive votes out of 7. And there was much discussion at the time when that went on, and I've spoke to some of the people, Senator Bedsole and Representative Qualham and Representative Best Lines and others, and there was a lot of discussion, and I know some of them, and Ken Qualham has even told me that, you know, or a couple of them told me they wanted to give the citizens of Mobile the authority that if they ever needed to change it, they would put that in the bill that they could change it, because they didn't want, it was kind of contentious up there, as you can imagine, mm-hmm. back in the 80s. And so they put a clause in there that if after 2 years of the form of government that's adopted, if the citizens want to change or amend the form of government, they can do so with a petition signed by 10% of the number of people that voted in the last city election. So as some may know, as leading up this, I've watched for several months the debate with city council and trying to decide whether or not to let West Mobile have a vote to come into Mobile. Mm-hmm. And the city council voted 4-3 to let them have a vote, but only in Mobile does a 4-3 vote not win.
Right.
Because you have to have 5 votes. And so that was frustrating. And then shortly on the end of that, the council passed or proposed an ordinance to pull out of the 3-mile jurisdiction, police and fire services out of 3-mile jurisdiction, which would leave those people without any protection except by the sheriff's office for police enforcement.
And those number of people out there,
70,000 people in the 3-mile jurisdiction is what's estimated. So that would have required me to hire as many as 48 deputies, the cost of, you know, equipment and everything, about $4.8 million a year reoccurring. And the county would not be receiving any more tax funds, and the city would quit taxing the people what they're taxing them. And so we would just fill that void with existing dollars in our budget by cutting elsewhere, and it would devastate our budget.
Mm-hmm.
But then I pointed out a few weeks ago that it would devastate Mobile, too, because if I did hire those, many of them would come from Mobile Police Department, is where a lot of our people tend to come from. So I said it would be devastating to them, or the city of West, there'd have to be a city of West Mobile created to raise the revenue to pay for the deputies.
That would
and
be the taxing authority, right?
Yeah, they would have the taxing authority. So, you know, I kept looking at this and thinking about it and researching, studying and all, and I thought, you know, this could be bad, because if we have a city of West Mobile that's more or less forced to incorporate so they can provide fire service and police services, that would choke off the city of Mobile's future growth from any further growth at all. And then the second thing that would come behind that would, they'd probably break away and have their own school system. Then Mobile would be just like what happened in Birmingham, and I've done some studying on that. And a few other facts that came up was that this Jefferson County has not grown any population in 50 years. And wow. Birmingham has been losing population for 50 years, but it's outside of the county. So I'd say so goes Birmingham, goes Jefferson County. I think you could make the similar thing. So goes Mobile County. So I looked around at others, and I thought, you know, in the last, since 1970, Mobile has only grown 1.08% up and through the 2017 census data.
Wow.
In that same time span, Fairhope has grown 331%, Daphne 900-something%. And I said, well, let's move further up. Tuscaloosa, 48%, and the city of Huntsville, 38%. And there's countless other things you can look around at.
And Mobile has grown
1%. 1.08%. And if we, and I know there's some recent data out since I printed this stuff up, and I think we've lost more than 1,000 people, and we're down to perhaps 189,000.
In 47 years.
Yes.
Less than 2% growth. My lifetime.
Yeah.
My
just
city
barely over 1%. Your lifetime, yes. And so, you know, if a city's not growing, it's dying. And we've, you know, we brought some big businesses in here, but, you know, and it's at taxpayers' expenses oftentimes, but we're just not benefiting, and because we're not allowing the growth on our borders that has become, because of this, become part of the city. And we're killing ourselves. And so the more and more I looked at it, I said, something's got to be done about this. And so, you know, and then I've been accustomed to the ineffectiveness of that supermajority vote over the years, and I pointed out this morning that,
yeah, this has come up a few times.
You know, it took them 2 years to appoint a fire chief. It took them 2 years to recently agree to appoint a chairman of the city council.
City council president, yeah. Without 2 years, we just had an acting.
And then,
yeah.
And then we just recently, it waited to the last day before the expiration date to approve the contract for applying for an Amtrak train, which, you know, I think I saw reports 75% of the people wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have that 5-7 vote, that's the equivalent of voting 71% of the time to get anything passed. Who governs with 71%? You know,
Of course, I've been aware of supermajority and looking at the four votes, but 71. That's
the equivalent of 71%. And so, I mean, we're tying one hand behind our back, and it just slows the progress of government down, and look, the elephant in the room that everybody wants to say is that, you know, and I know in the 80s and the 70s it led to the lawsuit, race relations had a long ways to go to improve, and all, but I think, you know, we've improved tremendously. You know, I'll point out, twice we've elected a black man with a white majority population in Mobile, and twice we've elected a white man with a majority black population in Mobile. And I just propose, can't we get beyond that and say, look, we just want to elect whoever is best at the time that's running for office, and that's the political process that we should be. And then the ones that we put in office, let them effectively and efficiently run our government for us. You know, but denying people the right to vote, it got my attention. And the proposed 13,000 want to come in, 35% of them were minorities and people of color. So it wasn't, you know, so you're denying minorities their right also to come into the city, and you're penalizing. So we lost out on the opportunity to get between $5 and $10 million worth of public safety grants. But what wasn't mentioned, and this has come up time and time again, the issue of affordable housing in Mobile. But when you grow your population, you also qualify for larger grants from HUD. That is what's behind your affordable housing.
Well, I mean, it seems like there's a lot of parts of this. There's the, and I don't want to say game, but the short game here is exactly what you're talking about in grant money and those things. But you mentioned the longer issue is, if those folks on the western border of the city do incorporate, that's as far, I mean, obviously this is obvious, that's as far as the city can go. It could never move that way.
That's exactly right.
Sims, as you got, you know, Sims on
Sims
the northwest.
Sims is growing leaps and bounds right now as well. And, you know, it may be that Sims eventually takes everything over or something. But, again, you know, the folks in Mobile and leadership positions and the business people all need to wake up, or one day, 25 years from now, their kids are going to say, wow, I sure wished our parents or grandparents would have done something about this, because we've just, you know, the city is just going downhill. And I mean, there's a lot 100%. Of great things. I don't want to beat up on the city.
Well, you and I are both, okay, so it could, if we have to qualify ourselves, you and I are both pretty big fans of our city.
Absolutely.
Right? We're both Mobile guys,
mm-hmm.
Big fans of the city, but this is by the numbers, the sheet I'm looking at. You just said it. Mobile only grew 1.08% in my lifetime.
That's right.
47 years.
That's right.
Compare that with extraordinary growth in our area and around the state.
Mm-hmm.
But if we do bring the 70-something thousand people into the city of Mobile, now all of a sudden, Mobile's what?
If you brought all of them, Mobile would be the largest city in the state of Alabama. And then when prospective corporations or businesses want to bring their companies to Mobile because they see, wow, Mobile's really a growing city and, mm-hmm. and things are going well there, and we're going to bring our businesses there. And then you have jobs for the very people that we're penalizing by not growing. You know, if you bring in West Mobile, their infrastructure is relatively new, so your maintenance is less out there, and you essentially profit off of that, as much as I hate to say it, but that's how things work.
But
you
that's true.
You know, and so then you can help do things in the city that needs resurrecting.
When we come back from the break, I want to talk more about this process here, because you said a petition, and there's a way to formulate this, how many people need to sign. We'll talk about that when we return. Also, a lot of texts coming in here. Jason says, Sheriff Cochran showed tremendous leadership today, saw something that's rare in Mobile. I think we saw Mayor Cochran for the first time today. What do you say?
Let me say real quick, no, I support Sandy Simpson 100%. I think he's a good mayor. He's done a good job, and I'm not interested in running for mayor, and I want to make that perfectly clear, because that's come up a couple of times mm-hmm. with people I've had this conversation. No, I love being sheriff, but I have responsibility to public safety for these people, and I think, you know, I'm the person to step up and say, hey, I'm going to put some leadership into this.
Okay, we're going to talk about how this all works and the petition when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile in studio guest. 2 days in a row, I feel. That's pretty good. Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, who today held a press conference and kind of put the hay down there where the horses can get after it here on the growth of Mobile, which is anemic would be too nice of a word for it. 1.08% in 47 years compared to places nearby and far away that are growing at a much, much faster clip.
Absolutely.
And we looked at it. You said you've been watching this issue with the supermajority in the Mobile City Council over time, but it came to a head to you, right? There's something, this latest vote.
Yeah, the latest vote kind of really brought it to a head when we lost out on the opportunity to allow these people to annex in, which would have, you know, really pushed the city over the 200,000 mark, when it opened up a lot of doors for grants and other things like that. But, it struck me that just denying these people, and the two previous administrations have always allowed annexation votes. Some passed and some failed. But
that's the part people didn't understand, too. It wasn't even that the council was tasked with saying these people come in. They were going to let them have the right of the vote.
That's right. Exactly. So that just stirred me. And then when the city council, someone proposed an amendment to roll back the police jurisdiction, you know, where these 70,000 people live, and, you know, over time roll back the police and fire protection. So I heard from my constituents, you know, they're my constituents too. And yep. I heard from them, and I have a responsibility to help them out and provide police services. And so the more I kept collectively looking at the whole thing, I said, you know, we need to expose just really what's all behind this and what is happening here and what's going to happen to this as a city if we don't. I did tell them if they did that at the city council meeting that Mobile would not be as we know it now.
And this process of amending our form of city government. So you walked it through before, but do that again. So what has to happen for
it's a two-step process to bring those people in? It would be first, we have to petition the city council according to the Zogby Act to have a referendum to change from the supermajority to a simple majority. And the way you get that petition to them, you sign a petition of 10% of the number of people that voted in the last election. And in the Zogby Act, it says if you do that, then the city council shall, not may or anything else, it shall hold an election to decide on the proposed change or amendment. If adopted with 50% or more of the vote, then the city council will immediately adopt that as part of its law. And this has afforded us that opportunity in the Zogby Act that was given to us. And I've spoke to the representatives that put that clause in there and know that to be what it is, what means to be what it is.
Okay, so kind of a thing that I think a lot of us did not know, that the citizens have an ability to petition to change parts of our city government.
And I can put a little more, finding out from speaking with Representative Qualham, the historical perspective of that, if those of us that go back long enough, in the mid-80s is when you had the power of referendum and Proposition 14 out in California. It was big across the country, and that's where kind of that idea came from and where and why it was put in there.
Okay, so do you know off the top of your head what that, how many signatures do you need to get?
I do know. We need to get 4,991 signatures, but my proposals, my desire is to get several thousand more. I'm going to shoot for 20,000.
All right. Wow. Okay. So how do people do this? I mean, are you going door to door with a petition?
Well, I've got some people going to do door to door.
Really? Okay.
And then just friends, family, business associates, everything. We're going to ask some businesses if they'll hold a petition, a location at their business where somebody can stop in and sign the petition at their location. We'll post that on our website and Facebook page. We have a Grow Mobile Now Facebook page and website.
And growmobilenow.com. Mm-hmm. And Dalton, we can get these links up too. And the Facebook page, Grow Mobile Now.
Yeah, Grow Mobile Now. And so you can download a PDF file from it, print your own petition out and circulate it, but you have to, you know, personally sign it. You can electronically sign the petitions, and then you can either mail them in to us, or if you'll send us a message to our Facebook page, we'll have someone pick the petitions up after you get them done.
Okay, so there has to be a physical copy.
Yes, it has to be a physical signature. Okay. Your name, you know, signed, your printed out name, signed name, and whether you're you got to be a citizen of Mobile.
Okay. Live inside the city.
18 years of age and over.
Okay.
And we ask whether you're a registered voter or not, because technically the law says citizens. It doesn't say qualified voters can sign the petition. Citizens. But when you have the election, they have to be qualified voters that vote. You know, like in the normal course of doing business with the city council, the rules adopted by the city council, there's a portion of the council meeting where they accept petitions and requests mm-hmm. from citizens. The rule says you have to step up, state your name, and state your address.
Yes.
And then you make your petition. You don't say, I'm Sean Sullivan, I live at such and such, and I'm a registered voter. You don't have to tell them whether you're registered or not.
Okay.
But you're still a citizen of Mobile. But to do the election itself.
The next part,
you have to be a qualified voter. But I can assure you we'll have way more than the required number of registered voters, so that's, even if someone wants to bring that up as an issue, it'll be a non-issue, because I'll have way more than 5,000 registered voters signing these petitions.
Well, we may have looking at the text line here. Do you have can we print one out here? Because people want to show up at the station to sign already.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I guess we can
print one out here if people want to show up here.
And we can get one. Yeah, I mean, I got people asking me on the text line, can they stop by and sign this? Sure. We're at 900 Western America Drive, Mobile, Alabama, 36609, right back behind O'Charlie's.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And
okay.
And we're going to also, we're accepting volunteers if they want to contact us to help us sign, you know, get the petitions drived. And one thing I'm looking for, and I have some, I'd like to have some volunteers that are willing to work the polls on March the 31st. You know, we've got a runoff in Mobile County with the Senate race and the Congress race. And as long as you stay outside the area that's marked off, we want to have some people that have petitions and say, hey, sign the petition.
That's what they're asking on the text line. Can we set up outside polling places?
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
so I'm looking for volunteers, and I plan on taking a day off that day and stand out in front of one of myself seeking petitions.
So and Billy and others said, you know, 4,991 signatures should be no problem. Let us know. We'll all pitch in and get it done. But then that process time-wise, you say it's a shall. It's, yeah, a shall. They will call for the referendum. They don't have a choice. How is so? It let's say you get the signatures, then this goes to the city council. Now they've been handed it, right? Mm-hmm, they got to do something about it. I guess they call Judge Davis or something for probate or set a date.
I think it's up to the city clerk. The council chairman directs the city clerk to set up and hold the election. I can tell you the
timely fashion.
Many years ago, this was tried, and it ultimately attorney general's opinion in a legal action to force. Force them to take action, and then someone filed a lawsuit, and it fizzled out in the court system.
Yeah, okay, because that's one thing I was thinking when first heard you talking about this. That, and I remember sometime in the 80s, right? This was changed.
Yeah, it was in the early. I think it was in the early 90s.
Early 90s.
What happened was that issue about registered voter or not being a registered voter came mm-hmm. as part of it was challenged, and I think Judge Herman Thomas may have thrown. Many of the names of the petition out because they weren't registered voters, and eventually they got the numbers below the required 10%, and that's how they kind of were able to defeat it, and then it just sort of got dropped or something of that nature. But I expect there may be a fight, there may be a battle, and I have set up a 501c4 fund, and I am going to be raising some funds, and big and small, that
okay, and people
to contribute. They could mail it into that P.O. box on the website and to help out. We it's a pretty low campaign. We don't have the cost of posters and cost of the petitions and with social media this day and time.
We can do this
for a little bit of nothing, and I've got a lot of good volunteers that are able and capable.
Okay, so we'll be talking about this, places where people can get the petition, they're interested mm-hmm. in signing it. You said the threshold is a smaller number, but you would like to...
Yeah, I want to make it sure that's a clear, sound message that we're going to be sending that the voters, the citizens of Mobile, not outside people, but the citizens of Mobile are adamant that they want to have a voice in this, and they want to see their government improve, and they want to see results. And I would say it'd be... Perhaps it's going to be perilous to people that ultimately try to fight or stand in the way of the people. The right to vote is a powerful right, so we've denied the people outside of the city the right to vote to come in.
Yeah, are they going to deny?
But now I've seen something already attacking this movement
yes.
that's earlier put out. So now they're going to attack the right of me and others to vote in our own city. We're citizens, and it's in the law. So am I going to be attacked for following the law?
Now, this is a provision in the law where citizens can vote to make amendments to the city form of government.
That is exactly right.
All right. Hang on for one second. We've got some
sure.
other questions here. Coming right back, more with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. Grow Mobile Now, growmobilenow.com is the website. Check it out on Facebook as well. And I guess we're printing out a petition here because people want to come by and sign those. So we'll get on it.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 on this Wednesday edition. Glad to have you along. And good to have Sheriff Sam Cochran in the studio talking about Grow Mobile Now, website growmobilenow.com, also on Facebook. And let's go back and you did it as a percentage. When we talk about simple majority and super majority, right? That's something we talk about, that certain things with Mobile City Council be, oh, that's a super majority item. And that means you have to have
five positive votes out of the only possibility of seven votes, which is the equivalent of 71.4%.
Now, ask yourself, have we ever had anything even at a federal level that's,
yeah,
very few things get 71%.
Approval
rate or
everything that goes through on 71.4%. It just creates a negative environment about you spend more time killing stuff rather than passing stuff or coming to agreement. And even with a 4 out of 7 is 57%. But sometimes say if a council member gets sick or something like that and can't meet it, now mm-hmm. you got to get 5 votes out of only possible 6 votes. It doesn't change the breakdown when people may be absent, out of town, or family emergencies and that kind of stuff.
Okay, so yeah, this question here, John says, if the vote by the Mobile City Council had been 4 votes against voting for annexation, 3 votes in favor of voting on annexation, would this still mean that the side voting with 3 votes would win?
No, because it's got to be a 5 votes affirmative for, to pass the resolution. And
because in a supermajority system, you can have a minority number of votes, air quotes here, win the day, even though they had they didn't have the majority.
Right.
But they win.
So they had a simple majority with the 4 votes affirmatively, but that, like I say, only in Mobile does that fail to pass. I don't know of any other city that has a supermajority on conducting business.
This question here on growth, when y'all talk about growth, is that population or area? Growth of these cities?
That's population.
Okay.
Yeah, that's population. The numbers of people are counted on the annual census tracts, census counts.
And how did that growth come, Sheriff? Because you hear opponents will say, well, we need to grow from within. But
well, I can tell you that, Daphne has annexed over years. Fairhope has annexed over years. I know Huntsville has annexed over years. I know Montgomery has annexed over the years. Birmingham, no, because they got themselves boxed in. And most growth comes from annexation. Now, once you get a vibrant city and all like that, yeah, you'll have internal growth. But and we're seeing some of that in Mobile internal growth, but we're still seeing growth moving out of our city because you've got newly developed neighborhoods that many people are moving to, and the schools, they built schools out in the jurisdiction areas. And I don't want to sound braggadocious, but I'm more than just a cop. I mean, I've got a public administration background and some finance background and all like that. And one of the biggest things that attracts development is a new school.
Mm-hmm.
And people want to get around new schools. And so when you see a new school build up, you'll see new neighborhoods come up all
right
around it. And we need to – but these are our community schools, and we need to keep them within our community and not let another community eventually benefit from it.
And you mentioned something earlier, too. This is just pragmatic, that if, and this, once again, would just give the right of referendum to the people to come into the city.
Mm-hmm.
And if they did, though, they come in with a lot of new stuff. I mean, curbs and gutters and all that.
Yeah.
So those neighborhoods are new neighborhoods. Those probably take less money.
They all have retention ponds are part of it. They meet the latest building codes and all like that. So, it's a win-win when you have an opportunity like that. And so we're just missing this golden opportunity, because sometimes people have voted against coming in. Well, I know that there's a number of people, and a lot of them tell me they're Mobilians. They grew up in Mobile and just found themselves living out there. And of course, a lot of people live out there that have no idea they're not in the city of Mobile until they get there.
And a lot of this area, this fringe along the west, it's not like you can tell other than some signage that you're outside the city.
Yeah.
It's part of a metro, one metro. Mm-hmm. The pavement doesn't stop. The sidewalk doesn't stop. It's just kind of all of a sudden you're in the county, but nothing's changed. It's not like you're, out at the peanut field.
Down the road in the future, the best thing for everybody would be to not have a police jurisdiction. You need to be in the city or out of the city, and just keeps it more, black and white, grayscale, whatever you want to call it, to where you know where you're at.
Yes.
And because it creates problems. And, of course, the senator from Baldwin County is pushing that, and I hope he's successful in one way or another to where over time we can phase jurisdictions out.
Yeah, because that's one question that would happen, I'm sure, that, let's say this all is successful, and this Growmobile now, we get the signatures on the petition, and write a referendum, and those folks vote themselves in. Okay, then people, since there's police jurisdiction, now move on the outskirts of that new area.
Well, that's still to be settled. There's some I know Public Safety Director Barber is working on a plan that is trying to adjust how much the jurisdiction is and everything. But quite frankly, I think the city council is at a standstill to be able to pass the thing to roll back or pass the thing to adopt. And again, lack of being able to come to a consensus because the requirement of such a heavy lift to come to a consensus of 5 votes is just, difficult. And this thing has drug on for months and months. And, at the time it came up before city council, they said, you sprung this on us too late to get the deadline of the census. Well, you may recall they were still trying to hammer out the budget in early December, and by law it's supposed to be hammered out in August.
Yeah.
So,
fiscal year starts October 1st.
The people with the petitions waited till they got the budget done, and then they finally worked out the agreement to have a city council chairman finally agreed upon.
And while this push here has a lot to do with this question of annexation, but this will affect how other things get done. You talked about the things over time where things were hung up because of supermajority.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, that could be anything from more simplistic things that are just regular city business to something that is as big as this.
I recall when I left being police chief, they had been working on adopting a new ordinance for taxi cabs. And it had been going on for 6 months or so, and I think it was a year later before they finally reached an agreement to adopt a new thing. And it's just stuff like that. It's an ineffective, if not inefficient, way of conducting business at City Hall. And, you know, let me say, we've had three good mayors. All three of our past mayors, Kern included, have worked really hard to try to do right for Mobile. But I'm telling you, they've all been stifled by this impediment. It forces the mayor to have to shop for that fifth vote constantly, and it's almost sometimes like it's a shakedown to finally get somebody that's a holdout. You got to give them something to finally get them to agree to it. And I've seen that witness firsthand where one of the former mayors had to agree to come up with a bunch of money to give them for a pet project just so they cast their vote.
I mean, it incentivizes. Now, if somebody holds out because it's a no vote because their conscience and their constituents is no, then I respect that. But if they're holding out, they know just it's worthwhile holding out here and being the last one in because it won't get something.
That's exactly right.
That's
you just carve out. If you know two people are against something, you can say, hey, I don't really have a problem with it, but I'm going to hold out until I get something for myself.
Yeah, that's a contrary motivation to doing the right thing.
I've seen it time and time again.
This text here, when do you have to have the signatures on the petition to qualify for the general election ballot?
Well, I don't know there's going to be a general election ballot. The law says that the city shall hold it in the normal course that they hold a city election, and it is at their expense. Of course, it's not a great expense for the city to hold an election, but it's not necessarily put on a ballot with a general election. I'm expecting to have it done way before the general election in November. I'd like to see it, you know, maybe in late spring or early summer, but, you know, we'll have to see when all those numbers come together.
Right. Matt says, just for my two cents, even though I am not a minority within the city, I do see this proposal as a serious disenfranchising towards the minority representation in the city. One of the advantages of supermajority is it forces all sides to work collectively together doing the business of the city. I know Sheriff Cochran's highlighting recent differences of opinion on hot topics, but the supermajority has proven a successful track record for decades.
I don't see how it's proven a successful track record for decades when we're sitting here last in almost every category, especially in population growth. And
that affects everybody. I don't care how you vote. When the city loses, we all lose.
Yeah, and that statement has a lot of loaded stuff in there, assuming that he's making the assumption that races can't vote for one another or something.
Right, and you just pointed out we let off
numerous examples of that, and I just refuse to accept that a black man or black woman can't be elected mayor again in the city of Mobile today, tomorrow, whenever. But I think that just as we elected Sam Jones over a bunch of white candidates, he was the better candidate at the time. And I think when Sandy Simpson was elected, I think people just decided they wanted to make a change. And I think he's been a good mayor. And although the other two predecessors worked their tails off and were good mayors.
So I I'll say this. I get frustrated with this because I feel like at my age and in my peer group, which is made up of people look all different kind of ways, and it's just only my peer group. Mm-hmm. I can't speak for anybody outside of that. We get frustrated by race being primary to the discussion versus the city. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you want to discuss race on down the line, that's fine, but it's not 1985.
No.
It's not the 1970s. It's not 1960s. You know, it's 2020.
Right, and what was done in 1985 was a long, many years process that started in the 70s is when the court cases started. It took several years to get it sorted out.
So, there we go. Once again, somebody wants to sign the petition, wants to get in more information, wants to make a donation. How do they do this?
They can go to our website at www.growmobile. Now, I think it's in front of you.
GrowMobileNow.com.
And you can seek us out on Facebook, and it'll be both places there. You can download a PDF file, print it out yourself, sign it, have your family members and friends sign it, maybe your neighbors and stuff sign it, and then you can either, two ways, you can either mail it into the P.O. box on the bottom of the petition, or you can contact us through those same things through the website or Facebook, and we'll have a volunteer come and pick the petitions up.
All right, very good. Thank you.
If you want to make a donation, you can mail it into the P.O. box listed on the website.
All right, and if businesses are interested in having some of these petitions on hand?
Yeah, if businesses want the petitions, we can get them out to them, and then we'll put them on the Facebook page that they're a location you can stop by and either sign a petition or drop a petition off to them as well.
Very good. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for all your listeners and their concerns. It's a very important issue.
All right. We're taking your calls on this when we get back right here at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:51, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Phone number is 343-0106, 343-0106. So you look at this, and got to ask some questions here. First of all, just a short question is how long to get the petition signatures? I know the sheriff said he wanted a lot more than the minimum requirement, but that the minimum requirement, I tell you what, I don't usually make predictions because put you in a pickle. I think the signatures are in before the next city council meeting. That's what I think, the minimum number of signatures are in. I have nothing, I'm not basing it on anything scientific. I have no idea, but I think this is from what I'm seeing here in traffic from people asking questions about this and for website links and all that kind of stuff. I think this will happen pretty quickly. All right, to the phones, and David in Mobile is first up. Hey, David.
So you say that, so you think your prediction is they get to 5,000 by 1 o'clock tomorrow?
No. I'm sorry, by Tuesday's meeting.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to clarify that because the next meeting is technically tomorrow.
Yes, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. The Tuesday meeting, the following week.
Okay. I'm interested in following this. I'm one of these undecided people. I'm open to the idea of eliminating the supermajority vote. But my question is, isn't the supermajority vote kind of the foundation of the Zogby Act, that's what got it to pass?
I don't know that. I mean, I don't know that that's the foundation of it. I think the idea of a strong council, weak mayor system, but I don't know if the supermajority is specifically drives that. I don't know that.
So, I mean, well, because didn't Mary Zogby and Michael Figures work together to develop that legislation, and that was kind of the key component?
It's a leading question. Do I know that? Who put it together? Yes. Do I know what they were saying? That, hey, this is the main part. I wasn't there, so
I'll have to get you the email address for Steve Klykus, who was in the legislature at the time it was passed, and maybe you can.
Oh, you tell us, David. Tell us.
You're
obviously got the. So tell us. Tell us what you know.
All I know is I was actually sitting at Judy's place one day, and I was talking about the specific topic, and Steve Klykus just happened to be sitting next to me when I was talking about it, and he said that the original plan was to pass the legislation and then a couple of years later go back and amend it, but it never got amended.
Okay, so you share that info. We'll try to get on. I don't know. All I know is that I've seen – now, are there – people say, well, there's a dangerous thing, dangerous precedent when you remove supermajority. I don't know that I've seen that. Maybe there's some cases people are going to roll out, but I can tell you this, that 71, when you look at it as a percentage here, governing with 71% of the support here, the 71% approval, think about what that would be. Think about if we put that mandate on Montgomery or Washington. It's only a very specific things that the austere body of the Senate goes to that level. All right, back to the phones, and Matt in Mobile's up next. Hey, Matt.
Afternoon, Sean. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. So you don't like this idea?
Well, I'm sitting up here literally on top of a hill in the city cutting a yard, so I don't have notes in front of me. I will have a more prepared remarks later, but just on the cusp of it, I do have reservations. And that's no disrespect to Sheriff Cochran, because I hardly ever disagree with Sheriff Cochran, and he has a much further background in all of this than me. But I'm going to tell you, as a city servant and also as a former union advocate for my firefighters union, we've had to reach across the aisles to work on legislation or city initiatives that benefited public safety officers as a whole. And I'm just going to tell you, on the short end, if you didn't have the relationships on both sides of the aisle, it would have been perilous in the end. And I do see when you throw the percentage out there where you require 70% of approval to do something significant, I'll have it next time I call you. But there are so many things this city has flourished on based on the majority support of the council working with a mayoral relationship, whoever that mayor is. If you sit there and just say, hey, starting here on out, we're going to go 4-3, you're going to have the stalling tactics that you have in the state legislation and at the federal level like you're talking about.
But have you,
forces, just in my opinion, and this is just my opinion. This is not, I wasn't put on here by Fred Richardson or by Mayor Stimson to call in and give my opinion. I can promise you that.
You're speaking for Matt.
This from my boss when I get off the phone. But I'm just telling you, when both sides are working collectively, they've had more success, more than what has been highlighted in the past 2 hours.
I would love for that to happen. I would love for that to happen, but I see a lot of times here as of, let's say, the last 4 or 5 years, something like that, that it's been a rare occurrence. It's not the norm.
Yeah.
It's the, I mean, how many times have you heard me go, you know, like 2 or 3 times when I go, oh my gosh, look at this. It is something that the administration, Stimson administration, agrees with, and so does Fred Richardson. Let's make a note in our calendar. It is a rare, rare creature.
Well, how about this, Sean? Go back and do the track record of Councilman Richardson and Councilman Rich, who represent opposite sides of the city,
right?
Different levels of economic factors.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm not saying that in a disparaging way, but I'm just saying they're probably two of the longest tenure council members on that council. They're working together, where historically in the past they may have had more opposition than they did a cordial relationship.
Although Councilwoman Rich likes to, and she's consistent, which I like. She's going to be a no vote pretty much no matter what. It's a no.
Well, but I mean, and I'm not just trying to sit here and propagate Ms. Rich up, okay? I'm telling you from firsthand experience that Councilman Manzi and Councilman Richardson, Councilman Smalls have been very influential in helping us move things together that benefited, you know, firefighters abroad.
Yep.
You know, and when you take a step back and look at all the economic approvals of things that have happened for Airbus, that have happened for Austal, that have happened for other companies that I can't, you know, like I said, I don't have my pad in front of me. There have been more benefits with supermajority than there hasn't.
Okay.
And while it's contentious,
would that not have happened
right now? You have to ask yourself this too. Why is an elected official outside of the city proposing a city amendment just because they're going to have to add a budget to cover the county, which is theirs to begin with?
But he's also a citizen of the city of Mobile, and I appreciate it. Up against the hard break. And
Do call me
back on this. I have a feeling we're going to be talking about it going forward. We'll continue. We'll take more phone calls when we get back at 343-0106. 343-0106. Check out more details on their website, growmobilenow.com.